Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ford. I am so delighted to be able to come across these airways and skyways on this morning. Hallelujah. Bringing unto you a divine word of God out of the mouth of God as well. I hope and pray that all is well in your family circle, and I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. And I just want to send condolences out to those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, last 48 hours, last 24 hours, 8 hours ago, even seconds ago. And we want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement, that you have prayer warriors that's praying around the clock, 24/7, with you and for you, that God will bring about relief and restore your joy and restoration back unto your soul. So now we're going to go on into our opening prayer. I'm asking those of you that will bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. I want to introduce him to some and present to others. He's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our soon coming Messiah. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ. He is a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah. God is sitting right now upon his holy throne on the right-hand side of his Father. Hallelujah. Beholding the evil as well as the good. So I just want to acknowledge him at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to unite, God, around this spectrum, God. We know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination, but we know that you have an eternal home waiting for us. Hallelujah, when you crack those clouds one historical day. But until that time is upon us, we will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west. Hallelujah, as pilgrims through this barren land. I am asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me to bring on with my word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, God, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and everyone that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their heart and soul. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the congregation of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I won't be with you long this morning. I'm hopefully to be with you for 1 hour on today, because I know you're probably trying to, you know, get the probably final touches on your dinner and your delicacy and your gas preparing, you know, your last minute things. So I'm not going to be before you very long because I have to do the same thing. But I just felt compelled to come across the air to this morning to, like I said, to bring a rhema word to those that are hurting in their heart and their soul. Some don't even have relatives to share the Thanksgiving festivities with. But we want you to know that even though you might not have anyone to share your meal and the blessings of God, just know that you have your kingdom family. We are with you, and we are united all across, hallelujah, this planet Earth. So just know that Jesus loves you, number one, and we love you, number two. And we want you to be encouraged. Hallelujah. And so right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you on into a live program that's already in progression. And so our sermon on this morning entitled, The Power of Influence. I want to say that one more time. Hallelujah. Today's sermon entitled, The Power of Influence. And we're going to take our first key scripture, and it reads like this. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Matthew 5 and 13. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the power of influence. I would just like to know who in your circle of friends, your family circle, that are able to catch your undivided attention, that can impact you in such a way that you feel as though what they are saying is correct. Are you in hope that it is correct? We're talking about the power of influence. Those that are representative of Christ is what we're talking about on this morning. We're talking about the clergymen, the bishops, the elders, the preachers, the ministers, all of those that are to preach the good news of Jesus Christ unto the poor. God told us, he said to go into all the world. He didn't say preach Janet's gospel. He didn't say preach another gospel, but he said preach my gospel. Go into the world and preach the gospel. And God went on a little further, and he said that he that believeth is baptized, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So God let us know that we are, you are, I am, and us. I'm including me in everything. So I'm not leaving me out, because I am included in as well as you. God expects the same thing from me as he does you. It's no exception to God's rules. So like I said, we know that in this diverse society in which we live, we hear a lot of heartbreaking comments about people saying, I am the God, you know, I am your God. And we know that that's not true. We know that that is not the power of influence, but it can be, because we know that there are a lot of people that are being led down a path of destruction if God do not intervene, if God do not send your way a person, power, I'm talking about the power in which God gives, the power of influence. Bring into you word for word as God has outlined it, as he has written it in these 66 books, starting from Genesis and its conclusion, Revelation. So we're going to read a little bit here about the power of influence. I can say that it was a significant introduction to the power of influence years later, and it was years later because I was a person that always was in church. From the age of 6, I was in church, sitting on the church pews. And so when I got big enough, old enough to call my own shots And I felt like, hey, I'd been to church all my life, and I just wanted a little freedom from church. So God allowed me about 25 years worth of freedom from the church house to let me do whatever I thought I was big enough and bad enough to do. Then, after I did everything that I wanted to do, I decided something was vital and something was missing. It was a piece of the puzzle that was missing in my life. And that, my friend, my sister, my brother, my kinship family, the kingdom of God, household of faith, it was God's presence that was missing out of my life. And I know that when, you know, God prompted me to come back into the sheepfold of God, yes, I'm a backslider. That's why I, you know, can preach, you know, firm in my belief, because I've been there, done that. And I'm giving you only what God has given unto me. Not something that I made up, something that I said, but I bring to you out of the mouth of God from these 66 books. That is the Bible. The Bible, the definition for Bible says that it is the biblical instructions before leaving earth. So God has left us a book. He said he's left us a book to believe in. And he said in it is a whole lot to learn. So me and you may not ever get the full depths of the Word of God in our lifetime. But we can get what's most important, what God wants us to know, what God wants us to deliver. God wants us to be the power of influence in our lives, in our walk with God, in our everyday lives, out and about, in our daily itineraries, over the highways and byways and the hedges and the sidewalks and the corners, under the bridge, in the alleyway, ministering to God, ministering to God people, to the lost souls that don't know God, don't know anything about God, don't know what God will do in their lives because they have not had a personal relationship with God. So therefore, they have not been ministered of God, who he is and what he can do for them in their lives. So they do not know what God can do, what miracles and acts of kindness that God can perform in their lives, acts of healing, acts of deliverance, acts of bondage, chains being broken, being loose by the satanic forces. I know I don't have long because my tick-tock clock is yet moving right along. So I have not a lot, but I have a little bit more that I want to include here. So our hymns of Zion may not be that long on this morning, but I'll try to give you, you know, something if God says the same. But I just want to bring this across to those of you that God has placed on the chat room on this morning. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, I know that years later when I came back and gave my life to God, I know that God is, and he was, and he is to come. He is influential God of power and of influence. And he proved that by going to Calvary Cross over 2,000 light years ago. I know that the power of influence came to mean something far more significant to me as I began my journey as a follower of Christ. I had the desire to live under the influence of Christ. But I also wanted to be influenced of others by pointing them to the Savior as well. In part, this is what Jesus was challenging us to understand in the law of Matthew 5 and 13 through 16. The salt and life are influential factors in a dark and corrupting world. And Christ, who is the light of the world, calls us to be light of influences as well. The master who modeled perfect purity called you and I us to be the salt that adds flavor and prevents corruption. May we not only be influenced by Christ, but also be influencers for Christ in a needy world. Our prayer should be, Lord, help me, help us to be a shining light in all that I say, all that you say, and we say and do. That your great love display in me and you and us may lead someone to you. Hallelujah. And we know that as the salt of the earth, Christ will make others thirsty for the water of life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so the Apostle Paul tells us, that he said that from childhood, Timothy has known the Holy Scripture, 2 Timothy 3 and 15. And 2 Timothy 1 and 5 mention the genuine faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. That faithful teaching and spiritual influence helped to enable Timothy to be a godly man. The Bible is our richest resource to help you and I and us to even raise our children who will know and love Jesus. Not saying that they might not stray, because when they become adults, they have their own mindset. They can choose which way they want to go, because God has given us a choice. God is not going to drag us anywhere. But God tell us to choose ye this day who you're going to serve. So our children might have been in church. We brought them up in church and Sunday school. But when they become adults, they have a mindset to choose which way they want to go. So they can either leave the church, but the church do not leave them. The church will always be in them because it's embedded inside of their heart. So, you know, it's up to God to prick them in their heart and bring them back, you know, into the sheepfold as we were that once strayed away. See, so God said it's not one that have not sinned. No, not one. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory and honor of God. But we know that nothing is more essential, hallelujah, than the Holy Scripture to equip for all of life's challenges. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you that are listening this morning, what are you doing to make the next generation wise for salvation through faith? We know that parents, you can give your children guidance and instruction from God's word. Then with wisdom and compassion, teach them how to love the Lord. We know that the character of our children tomorrow depends on what we put in their hearts on today. I sermon on this morning entitled The Power of Influence. And don't let anybody just lead you to believe anything. You know, you can search out the scriptures and read them for yourself. Turn on your radio station that you know is been proven and that's preaching the divine word of truth. Not lukewarm preaching, not lying tongues, but are preaching to you the power of influences. And we know that throughout the history of black people in America, we have had to deal with negative leadership. White oppression have used their leadership to intimidate, to punish, degrade, and to demoralize African Americans. Similarly, some black leaders have embraced the idea that this type of leadership is the most effective way to lead. But our scripture texts provide yet an example of negative leadership. And when someone is not telling you the truth and reading from the divine word of God, they are then preaching negative leadership. And God's perspective on it is disastrous result. In the law of Jeremiah 36, the prophet had Baruch write his words on a scroll and read it to the leaders of Judah, informing the people that each person should return every man from his evil way. He assured them that if they turned, God would forgive their iniquities and their sin. And so there's no priest, there's no bishop, no lawyer, no minister, no doctor, no nurse, no overseer, no bishop, no prophetess, no prophet, no missionary whatever they might be. Because sin is sin. It doesn't matter if you murder somebody, if you killed a child, if you killed your brother, your mother, your uncle, your grandparents, your friend, any constituents. God is the one to go through. God is the go-to man. So if a priest tells you that he can forgive you of your sins, he's a liar. And I'll tell him to his face, he is a lying prophet. Because God is the only one that is able to forgive you of your sins. That is the reason that he went to Calvary Cross. For the sins of yours and mine and ours that we have committed. So it's no one, no earthly human, I can't forgive you from any sins. I don't have that capability, neither do I have that power. So I read on social network that the priest was given the priesthood the power to forgive women that had aborted their children or their child. And that is just a flat-out lie. Because you cannot forgive because you didn't die on Calvary Cross. You didn't get whooped 39 stripes across your back. You wasn't pierced in your side with a spear. You was not nailed with both of your feet one upon the other and nailed to a cross. Nailed in your right hand and your left hand and then a crown of thorns placed on your head. That's when you are able to forgive sin, when you have done that. Until you've done that, you are a lying prophet. You are a liar and you're leading people straight to hell. Straight to the pit of hell. And that's where you'll be going if you don't get it straight. I get so tired of people lying and going on. Instead of telling the people the truth, it's time out for playing church. This is not rapper room. This is not Burger King. You cannot have it your way. You're going to have it God's way or no way at all. God is the show. He's the showstopper. He said, I am the beginning and I am the end. And no one come through the Father but through me. So if you come any other way, you're coming as a thief and a robber. God is not going to have any thieves and robbers trying to break in nothing. You got to come in the front door. Knock at the door in order to get in touch with Jesus Christ. So we know that these words of warning were read not only to the worshipers in the temple, but later to the prince and the king Jehoiakim himself. While some of the prince and leaders feared, others sympathized with Baruch and Jeremiah and advised them to hide from the king. King Jehoiakim epitomized negative leadership by commanding that Baruch and Jeremiah be seized and punished because the king responded negatively and led his official to destroy God's prophet rather than leading the people to obey God's will. Hallelujah. He was punished. So history tells you and us that about 3 months after Jehoiakim's death, the Babylonian captured his son, Jehoiakim. And in this passage, God shows that when leaders respond negatively to God's will, it can result in the suffering and death of many people. Conversely, the text implies that when leaders respond obediently to God's will, it returns and it results in peace. And not only peace, but unity. Hallelujah. Unity. Forgiveness. Then deliverance, as I first stated. Healing and abundance life for many. So the Bible tells you and I us to let therefore pray that leaders in all areas of life will respond humbly and obediently to the will of God in order that they and those who follow them may receive God's richest blessings. So you want to be blessed by God, of God, through God. Then you are to lead your people that God has put before you. Lead them in the path of righteousness for God's name's sake. And not lead them to hell. Hallelujah. And I hope I can share this story with you briefly, if I may. Hallelujah. There was a commentator, and I'll just call his name Ray. He had been he was an impressor, a speaker on the airways, and he had been on the radio for 40-some-odd years. And I had the privilege to talk with him live on the radio on two occasions. And in his 40-year span of on the radio, you know, a lot of people listened to him. A lot of people interacted with him, and you know, on his programs. And of course, he was an atheist, and he didn't believe in God. And so it's kind of like, if Ray said it, I believe it. You know, instead of, you know, going and reading what he said to see if it was true, you know, you can go and dissect it and look into brochures, and you can go to the library and you can look up books and even the Word of God and ancient religious and whatever cult, you know, that you so desire. But what I'm saying, that this man led a lot of people down the wrong path in his 40-year span of being on the radio, because he had the power of influence. So he influenced the minds of a lot of people in 40 years. Can you imagine 40 years how much power of influence that this man had on his listeners? You know? And so a lot of them was led astray because of the power of influence that he was able to come across and reach millions and millions of people. And so I had told him, when I had the privilege to talk to him live on his radio program, he was saying a lot of negative stuff. And I won't go into what he said, but I will say this. I told him I would pray for him. And so when we finished our conversation, I ended the call, and I kept my word, and I told him I would pray for him, and I wrote his name down, and I put his name in my prayer request box for God to touch his heart, you know, and to maybe bring him into the sheepfold of God before it was too late. And so I put his name in my prayer petition box, and I was outside cleaning out my pool one day, and God just brought him out there where I was standing, you know. And he told me, he says, there was no need to pray for this man. He said, because I have turned him over to a reprobated mind. You know, at that moment, I just started to weep because I felt so sorry for this man. God said that he was having his heaven right here, right in the now. So if he's rich, he said he was rich. He said on his own radio show, out his own mouth, he says, I'm a rich man, you know, I'm a millionaire. But God assured me that it was no need for me to continue to pray for him and to remove his name from my prayer box and to tear it up in shreds. And I did. I removed his name and I tore his name up in shreds. But I was so heart broken because God had probably gave him many chances, and God was probably angry because of many souls that he led to hell, because of the power of influence that he relayed. So that's what I'm saying. So if we are to be ministers of God, we are to tell them the truth, whether they want to hear it or not. You know, we won't be chastised by God for not telling them the truth and not leading them down a path of destruction, as the Bible said. Hallelujah. We're talking about the power of influence. So if you're going to be a clergyman, and if you're going to say you're a child of God and you're a minister of God, then act like you are a minister of God and preach God's word like God said to preach it, and not take away and not add your own, you know, your spice and your own, put your own spin on it. But you tell it like God has directed you, enabled you to bring it across. The truth. God has never lied. And God said, liars will not even be in his footsteps or in his path. So God knows that it's not any liars going to heaven. So if you lie now, you can forget about going to heaven. If you lie and you say, God, forgive me for that lie I told, then it's forgiven. But I mean to continue to lie and to lead people down the wrong path, you're going to reap what you sow. I didn't say it, but the word of God said. You're going to reap what you sow. So I would advise you, because that goes for me as well. If you're going to say you are a woman of God, you're a minister, you're evangelizing, whatever you're doing for God, tell your sheep the truth and don't lie to them, because God has not made it back here yet. So if a person tells you he's God, don't believe him. He's a liar. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. If he said that he can forgive you of your sins, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him or her. But you believe the 66 books of God from Genesis to Revelation. So I'm going to end it right here because I told you I would only be with you 1 hour. I'm going to give you now into the hands of Hymns of Zion. I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you'd want the old Church of Zion, go down and pray on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old Church of Zion. Send your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. You can also log on to our web address, www.janiceWardMinistries.org. Till we meet again, you go in God and let God go in you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Up now, Hymns of Zion. Till we meet again, you go in God and let God go in you. Bye for now. Oh, we pursue it.
you. You are our God and God alone. Is anybody proud of the God you serve tonight? It's you.
You know that I'm not That's your prayer tonight. Yes.
Thank you.
Numbers chapter 13 tells the story where God said the promise was theirs. Pastor Marvin Winans was here right now, you know what he would say? Ain't no need to worry. What the night is gonna bring, it'll be all over in the morning. In the